Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. And we are open for business this December the 16th already. And actually, I will be here. I will be broadcasting my show live next Saturday, the 23rd, as we get closer to Christmas here. So Merry Christmas to everyone and Happy New Year. And if you would like to ask a legal question, the law office is open. All you have to do is to call our toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. Your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates, living wills. It can be about family law, real estate law, personal injury. Whatever your legal question is, it doesn't even have to be a legal question. I'm just here to help as many folks as I can today. And if you have a problem, let's say, of any type, you'd like to discuss it with someone, maybe get a different opinion, a different slant on things, all you have to do is to dial this toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And you're listening to Ask an Attorney. We're broadcasting all over the state of Florida, actually. We're on like 12 stations. Broadcasting today from the Jacksonville area, WBOB, at 600 AM and 101.1 FM on your dial. And WBOB is a big 50,000-watt station, covering even up to Georgia and so forth. If you would like to ask the legal question, we have several. We shoot our show back to the Tampa, my home station, and you're listening there on either 570, 910, 860, 930. There are several other stations that also carry the program, 90.3 FM out of Haines City, Florida. We have the Sun Radio and Sun City Center FM station. We also have a station in the Crystal River area. All carry Ask an Attorney. Some of those also broadcast on FM stations as well. Let's go to Joe in Jacksonville. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Actually, I'm calling. This is a story that is all over Jacksonville. These cameras, these red light cameras.
Mm-hmm.
The company that was doing it was a contract that was contracted out by the city of Jacksonville. When you ran a red light, it took your picture. It sent you a letter. That letter looked like junk mail. A lot of people never even opened it. Didn't realize they were getting a ticket. It didn't say state of Florida. It didn't say it was a ticket. Didn't even say important, you know, it was just some company's name and you didn't recognize it. It looked like junk mail. So you're driving down the road, you're speeding or something, they get pulled over and they tell you, you got a suspended license. For what? For running a red light. When? Why? You know, here, this day, I didn't run a red light. So you do some research and you get a picture of yourself going to a red light 8 months or a year earlier and you didn't know anything about it. And some reason, the state of Florida is not so connected with this company where they don't send you all the letters they usually do if you don't pay a ticket. You know, so my question to you is, the sheriff's office has already said that the cameras are done the end of this month. There won't be any more of these traffic cameras. There won't be any more of these traffic tickets. Is there anything you could do legally to, you know, say either get the not pay the fee, get away from the ticket, not get the, you know, suspended license, have these things backed out?
Well, you'd have to go before a judge and make the request. I don't know. I think there's a good chance that it might be dismissed once you tell the story and maybe taken off your record. But, you know, I don't do traffic law. I always refer those out to someone who does.
I see. I appreciate it. Can I stay on the line? Could you give me a reference?
Probably not because I'm on the air right now. But you can contact me by sending me an email. Do you have access to email?
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
It's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. And actually, that's, you know, that's, you have asked a great question, and I don't usually get too many questions I can't give you some direction on. So I would do my research on that so I can tell the audience, listening audience, what to do in that particular situation next week. But I'll get you some help in the meanwhile if you want to email me.
I appreciate you. Thank you, sir. Right. I'll listen to your show next week, too.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And by the way, I'm always interested in people helping me. So if you're out there listening to the show and you have some experience, maybe you're an attorney, maybe you're a traffic attorney, maybe you're someone who's been through this, maybe you're someone who's gotten their red light camera ticket dismissed. Hey, give us a call. And if you'd be willing to share that information, I would consider that an honor to have you on the radio station helping my audience. Let's go to Mark in Bradenton.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a step-granddaughter. Well, kind of. Her mother remarried and then my son-in-law and my daughter had two children together who both have the same last name. However, the oldest daughter is a product of my daughter's first marriage, and she feels kind of strange because she has a different last name. Now, I am looking for the least expensive way to get her name legally changed so that she has the last same name as dad and mom and her siblings.
Yeah, how old is the granddaughter we're talking about?
She'll be 17 in January.
Well, the easiest, most expensive way would be to wait till she turns 18. Then
okay.
she can do a name change herself.
Okay.
And name change would be a lot easier than trying to get permission from both parents and going to the court.
So the biological father would have to agree?
Well, as long as they're a minor.
Okay.
So I think your least expensive route, and I think that was your question, would be to wait till she's 18 to do a name change.
Appreciate it. Thanks,
all right.
Joe.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, and we're open this morning, Saturday morning, to answer your legal questions, give you a little peace of mind. Hey, you've been up all night worried about something? Something's bugging you that you don't know the answer to? If I can help you, I will. Been practicing law in Florida since 1982. We have 20 office locations around Florida. We have 7 attorneys with all of us have our own practice areas. I do primarily estate planning, but I've done other areas of law. First started my practice, I did basically everything. I did criminal law, bankruptcy law, family law, estate planning, and a whole host of other miscellaneous topic areas. I've done the radio show since 1984. I think it's the longest running continual program in Florida. Every week I come in here and, you know, the phones light up with a bunch of legal questions, and we give people the best information we possibly can, try to get them pointed in direction, and we would certainly like to help you if I can help you with some information or get you pointed in the right direction. The toll-free number is 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. And be more than glad to help you. I had several clients this week came in and talked about, couldn't really decide what to do. They'd been putting off their estate planning for a long time. And basically the situation was, you know, basically how much do you leave to children? Some children are doing very well. Other children are not doing so well and couldn't really handle a distribution. And do you give to a child who has children? And the grandchildren, you want to make sure the grandchildren are taken care of. And if you give it to the child that's not so great with money, there's no guarantee they would save and preserve it for your grandchildren to be able to get an education or have medical needs met or whatever. So what do you do? I'd say I probably had 4 or 5 clients this week come in with those type of questions. How do you plan your estate? Well, how you plan your estate basically is a choice you make. And usually, I'm going to say the type of documents that are most often done, you can easily amend or change as circumstances change. So say a son turns 40 and all of a sudden he becomes a very responsible adult. And prior to that, he couldn't save 2 nickels and was wasteful and foolish with money. But now seems to have gotten his act together. And now he's a responsible citizen in the community, taking care of, has a savings plan, working on his retirement, has a good job that he's kept, and he acts more responsible. So he can always change a document. That's not the last story. In the interim, you can do a stretch plan. A stretch plan would be over a number of years or a certain amount of money per month for his share. So now his share of the estate might be, you might have 2 children, and his share of the estate could be 50%, or it could be money held, he could be a third of 50%. It could be 25%, and you give... it could be 12.5% out of that 50% share to each grandchild. There are lots of different ways you can do estate planning to do the best things for your family. I was speaking at Ruth Chris at a financial planner's seminar. We did 3 of them the last 2 weeks. And lots of questions like that. How do you do your estate planning? I've been putting this off. It's just too hard to deal with. I don't know how to treat my children. Do I treat them equally? Can I treat them differently? Do I leave money to grandchildren? These are all pressing questions that, you know, you should sit down with an attorney that's experienced and go through your options. If you try to do this online yourself, you're not going to really have someone to process all of your options with and maybe what's best for your family. If you'd like to call the show, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Craig in Tampa. Hey, Craig.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And you?
I had a question about a required fee, if you will, and mandatory donation that is required by one of the nonprofit thrift stores. And I was surprised. I went in there to buy something, and I was a little bit short on cash, so I pulled out a credit card, and a debit card, rather, not a credit, but a debit card, and was told that was since I wasn't paying cash, I was going to incur this, I don't know if they used the word mandatory or not, but it was a mandatory surcharge that they softened up by telling us it was going to go to the bottom line. And I'm wondering if you can just arbitrarily decide to charge a fee on top of a debit card these days.
Well, you can if you advise the client and they agree to it, or customer.
Okay. So, I mean, after the fact, I didn't seem to see any signs all that prominent beforehand, but it was informed to me as I was paying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you knew about it before you signed the ticket?
No. Well, I mean, I in the process of signing, I think, I questioned the extra price, and then their explanation came out. But then, you know, it was a tax, of course.
But you were still standing there, and you could have revoked the sale and not have gone through with it.
In fact, I think that's what we did. Yes.
You did revoke the sale?
Yeah, it just hit me wrong that day. I felt like
I can understand. I can relate to that perfectly, and I think they should have a sign up somewhere in the facility. They're going to charge you a service charge.
But what got me is it's all brought in by donation. So
yeah.
Their overhead is, then they have volunteers, so their overhead is the building, I guess. So they get stuff for free, and then they charge 25 cents more, charge 50 cents more, and not offend your public with a surcharge. I don't get it.
No, I think it's improper to not have a sign up somewhere.
Right.
I'll tell you, I stopped doing business with...
Yeah, I'll go back there again and see if they have done such a thing. Just
well, tell them to ask to speak to the manager, and you think it'd be better customer relations to have a sign up that says you charge extra for credit cards.
Yeah, this was even a debit, so I was, you know, a credit. I could, in a way, see because you get charged more for that, as I understand it. So.
Well, I don't. Okay, in my practice, we do take credit cards, and we run a card through the machine. It doesn't matter whether it's debit or credit. Okay, there's a charge.
Okay.
Some places have a charge of 3%. In fact, if you deal with a government agency, like you're paying a traffic ticket and you use a credit card, they have a charge, and but they tell you about it on the form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a Shell station that I was going to. And I don't mind mentioning the name of the station because it was a true story. This was in Pinellas County.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a price advertised out on, their signs.
Cash only or their credit card, probably.
Yeah, but they charge you. So I'm running up. I see the gas is so much per gallon. I go in there and fill my tank up and put my credit card in there. And they charged me there. I mean, I could have stopped the sale and gone somewhere else, but I needed gas, So the price was higher using a credit card.
Uh-huh.
Now, a lot of times on service stations, you'll see a little sign above the price,
Cash or their credit card office.
Yeah. But there was no sign on this. So I went into the store and I said, look, you guys are doing this wrong. You have a sign out front. You don't have another little sign that says this is only good for cash or your credit card. So I think you're ripping the public off by your average. There was a racetrack right across the street with the same price, and they don't have such a deal. They're going to charge you their advertised price. And this,
how do they expect to have regular customers with that?
I know. So I don't know. I just said I went in to complain and said, if you don't put some signs up in here, I'll never be again because I think you're ripping the public off.
I feel for you in that circumstance.
Hold
on 1 second.
The PayPal already takes percentage.
Oh, yeah. Then it was involved with PayPal. I don't know what difference that makes what we were doing. So, but anyway, I just wanted to see if it was. I didn't think in this day.
I think it's improper. I mean, I wouldn't cause them any trouble, I don't think, if they're a charity. But I go in and tell the manager, I think, this is wrong, and I think you should advertise that you do this and not just tell people as they're running the card.
I wasn't confident what I was saying about whether it was legal or not, so I won't hit him with that because now I know I'm wrong. It is legal if you advise, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Thanks.
All right, let's go to Patricia in Clearwater.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great, and you?
I'm just fine, thank you. I'm on my way to work. I have a sister who has two felons. Back in 1986, she paid her debt to society,
mm-hmm.
and she has had her own company for the last 25 years. And now, because she has a felony that she paid her debt to society, she cannot find a job because there's no one that will hire her without a badge.
Well, people have the right to hire who they want to, and once you have a felon in your history, then, they don't have to hire you.
That is very true. But if you pay your debt to society and you've paid all your fines and you've spent time, and she's had her company for 25 years, why do you have to have some kind of badge in 2017 when it happened back in 1982?
Well, because people have the right to hire who they want to hire, and there are plenty of people they can hire that's probably equal qualifications that don't have felons. She has her own company.
You're not allowed to work.
Well, somebody will hire her. I mean, people hire felons all the time that have straightened their lives out. You just have to find a compassionate business owner who needs what she's capable of providing.
Okay.
Now, she has her own business? Did she sell that or stop doing that or what?
No, she still has her own business, but she can't get what they call a badge.
Why does she need that for her own business?
That she doesn't understand that either, and that's why I'm calling you.
Well, okay, does she have something in writing telling her she's required to have this?
Yes.
Okay, well, if she wants to fax or scan me that to review, I'd be glad to look at it. I'd be interested, matter of fact.
Okay, I will give her your number or your email, and I will have her.
Yeah, I'll give out my email address here in just a few minutes again.
All right, I appreciate that. I'll jot it down. I appreciate that because I think that is wrong, and she did pay her time, and she was very young when all this happened. And, you know, it's just, I think it's wrong that you have to have a badge. When
yeah,
you
I'd like to see that letter. I'd like to see what we're talking about here, so.
All right. Well, I get, you know, when you pass out your address, I will forward it to
okay,
her.
Very good. All right, thank you. You're listening to okay. Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you'd like to call the show, all you have to do is to dial this number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go back to Joe, who was our first caller in Jacksonville this morning. Hey, Joe. Are you there? All right. So, we'll, Joe, if you were there, you can want to call back. That's fine. I'd love to talk to you again. Maybe you found.
Hey, Joe, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Joe, just something I wanted to tell the man that called about going to the thrift store and incurring those charges. You know, the credit card companies are charging so much. When you look at your credit card ledger, I mean, some of these C-stores, the gas station like the Shell, they actually pay probably well over $1,000 every month to credit card fees. And they're trying to recoup some of that. And some of them just causes so much friction when you go to the gas pump and it's one price and it's there at one price. And I actually own a convenience store, and I won't go through all that trouble. But what we do, and we let the customer know, if they're going to use a credit card or debit card, doesn't matter, and it's under $5, we get charged for every transaction a 30-cent swipe fee. So that swipe fee, we tell them, if you're only buying $5, we won't make the profit to pay the swipe fee. We're going to ask you, can we add 30 cents, or next time, don't use your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, we've never had anybody upset with us. I mean, there's people who want to use a debit or credit to buy 50 cents. Well, you're not going to make anything. I mean,
yeah. Some people will swipe their cards on everything. You know, go in and buy a pack of chewing gum, they swipe their card.
But do you know that the public has gotten used to going in a place and them telling, we're going to charge you the swipe fee if you're going to use it for 50 cents.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem. Somebody will get upset, but they understand, and they may not make the purchase. You know, but I think it's crazy to charge 3%. Across the board, if you use a credit card or any, they call it surcharge, but it's a percentage. You know,
and no, then, you should shop around. My provider on my credit card, I pay 2.1%, and that's even on American Express. You used to pay a lot more for American Express if you accepted those cards, but I found a provider that charges me 2.1%.
You know, even if it was 1%,
yeah.
If we're 1%, it could be a lot of money at the end of the month. And some of these people just want to take it out on the customer or charge the customer. But if they let them know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You should have at least a little sign up somewhere to protect yourself.
Right. But I hope the public is used to paying the swipe fee, at least if it's under $5.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for that. Thanks for the information. All right. Let's go to Maria in Poinciana.
Mariana Sylvester, I am, and I live in Poinciana, Florida. A few weeks ago, I was in hospital for my heart surgery, and I lost, when I was leaving hospital, they stole my clothes. They just let me to go home with the paper slippers and hospital gown on my back, and they took all my panty, brand new panty. My neighbor brought me to hospital. They stole my brand new three Piero brand new panty. I could not put on me because
all right,
they let me.
Maria, hold on, I got it. They stole. Do you think the hospital stole your clothes? Did you make a written? Did you go in and they made a written report of this?
No, I went twice. And I says, I want to speak, you know, I am 89 years old. It's very hard for me to walk so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I went twice to hospital. And I says, I want to speak with supervisor or administrator because let me to go home without no clothes, mm-hmm. really. You know, and they always pick some different person. Okay, we're going to look for your clothes. Soon when we find, we're going to call you.
All right.
What me to do? People, I cannot go on the street without no clothes because if anything happen, pull out.
Well, Maria, hold on a second. My suggestion would be you send them a certified letter. I think they're liable for the loss of your clothes, whatever they're worth. Your action would be in small claims court. And, yes. You know, I'd be glad to talk to you off the air if you want to talk to me further. But I don't think I can help you any further than to tell you to write a certified letter and maybe have an attorney contact them. That certainly is improper. The hospital administrator should certainly know about the circumstances of your visit and the way they treated you and the way you left the hospital.
Yeah, I left about a few weeks ago.
Yeah. All right, but Maria, that's about all I can do for you. And thank you for calling.
Okay, but where I can get touch with you?
I'm going to give out my phone number and the way to contact me here shortly for everyone. Okay.
I don't hear you. What you say?
I'm going to give out my contact information very shortly. So just keep tuned. And thanks for calling.
Oh, I can call the same number?
You can call me Monday.
Monday, the same number what I'm calling right now, right?
No, I'm going to give out the number shortly, and I'm going to ask our producer to go to our next call, which is Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin, can I help you?
Good morning. I have a question for you. I took out the college loans in 1996, and at the time I was 100%. A total and permanently disabled veteran. In 2008, these are Parent PLUS loans. In 2008, the Department of Education notified this lender that all totally and permanently disabled veterans were to have their loans forgiven.
Now, who's
and
no.
all
okay,
payments
so
made.
Where'd you get that information from?
I found out in 2013 from a Vietnam veterans reunion from a veteran friend of mine who lives in California who my wife had said, I'll be paying for these college loans long after Kevin's gone. And my friend Jim said, no, if you're 100% total and permanent, you don't have to pay them. You got you received a forgiveness. So anyways, when I notified them in 2013, there was they sent me what I consider a partial check of what I had paid in. And we argued about payments that they had said I missed, which I hadn't, which, it, you know, I got approved, but I can't go back 15 years in my checking account. But the point was in 2008, they knew about this. And when I spoke with them, this has been going on since 2013, I asked them why they had notified me, and they said, we have thousands of people that we lend to, and we don't have the capability of notifying everyone. And when I when I called back and I spoke with another woman, she said, I said, well, if I hadn't found out in 2013, I'd still be making payments on loans that I didn't need to make. I said, that's fraud. And she said, that's right, you would have been making payments on them. I said, well, why didn't you notify me? And she said, all I'm telling you is you get all the money that you're going to get back. So I said, well, I want my interest for 5 years then. Since you knew in 2008, mm-hmm. you continue collecting $267 a month from me, and I want my interest. And she said, too bad. So I called the police department in the town that they lived in. When I say it's not about the money now, it really isn't. Police department said it's a civil matter.
It would be a civil matter. So basically you'd have to find an attorney that would take the case and follow civil action.
Why isn't it a criminal case?
Because it's a contract between two people. And they're going to have a side of their story, and the police are not going to follow it. So for you to get a civil judgment against them and make them pay you, that would be the best way to go.
I don't want a civil judgment. They gave me back the money. I'm not going to bother with them. So the fact that I found out and that nobody else may be finding out that they may be charging other people for loans that
A civil action would be a public record, and that's one good way to get it on the public record. So what you should do, if you want to pursue it at all, want to learn more about your rights, go sit down with a civil litigation attorney, let him review the case, and to see if you have a cause of action and what it would be worth and what it would cost to you. Then you have a choice to make.
If I took him to court over these payments that I supposedly made or didn't make,
I think it's a chance. Now, Kevin, I don't know enough to give you a solid answer that you could go to court on, but I think from my hearing of the story, I think not only the interest that you would be entitled to, you might be entitled to all the payments you made that should have been forgiven as well. And I think it'd be worthwhile sitting down with a litigation attorney to discuss that fact. And, of course, would also include getting interest on what you owed or what you paid that you shouldn't have to pay or had to pay.
Now, they said that's not going to happen.
They're going to tell you what they want to tell you.
Yeah.
You need to have a third party, the civil litigator, look at the fact and make an issue out of it. And once you write a couple of letters and they realize you're going to make an issue out of it, they might not want they might want to settle with you, not to make it a big issue. I think it'd be worthwhile you pursuing.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Kevin.
I will.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. If you'd like to, I give out my information, also offer to give you something free for the asking. It's my estate planning poster sheet. It's a big poster, a double-sized sheet. On one side of it, it has five articles about estate planning. It has articles on the cost of probate, the difference between wills and trust, general information about estate planning, the three options in estate planning, comparison of the three options, and a little diagram article about trust and how they work. That's on one side of the sheet. On the other side of the sheet, we have all of our office locations. We have 20 office locations in Florida, about the website. We even have a fee schedule posted, and more information about the radio shows we do. And all that's on the other side of the sheet. If you'd like this, I'd love to send it to you. It's absolutely free. I think it'd be helpful to you, whether you have an existing estate plan or whether you're going to create a new one. Also, everyone that even has an existing estate plan has a need to update power of attorneys, health care, surrogates, and living wills every 3 or 4 years. If you would like this, you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number. So those of you that need my office number for other reasons, here you go. But if you like the estate planning poster sheet, I'd love to mail it to you at no cost. All you have to do is call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E. At attypip.com. You can actually text me your request at 727-667-3967. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. I have just a little bit over 15 minutes left in the show if you'd like to call the show and ask a question. And remember, your question might help a lot of other people that are also listening. So don't be shy. If I can help you, I might be helping others as well. The toll-free number to call the show is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we're here to help as many people as we possibly can. And several people asked me this week if you could contest a trust, a living trust, could you contest that? Well, the answer is you can easily contest a will that's in probate, for example. And if you have a will and die with assets just in your name, there is going to be a probate. It's very easy to file a claim on the estate. It's much, much harder to to contest a trust. Actually, you have to go through all of the steps of going through litigation by filing a lawsuit against the trust. So it's much harder to contest a trust than it is to contest a will. But the answer is anybody can contest anything. And right or wrong, they can contest things. And sometimes people who know they don't really have any rights just go ahead and contest something to be able to get a right where somebody might want to settle with them and they get something. Whereas if they remain solid, they would have gotten nothing. And even though they're not entitled to anything, they're going to contest and hope to get something. I mean, that's just the way it is. So you can't really stop anyone from contesting anything. And also, wills and trusts. It's just much harder. If you're thinking about estate planning and the choices you have in estate planning, it's much harder to contest a trust and much more costly and time-consuming. You have to hire an attorney and somebody. Sometimes you have to find an attorney that's, if you have a worthless case and no position at all and you just want to be a pain until somebody settles with you, it's much harder to find an attorney, if you can even find an attorney, to take a case like that. All right, phone line, if you want to call the show, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Teresa in Sarasota.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm curious, if a person makes a personal loan, is it necessary to have it filed with the state, or not the state, but probably the city or county? And if so, what's the purpose of it?
No, there's no reason to file a personal loan with the state. You file mortgages, which become liens on property. So if you have a mortgage with someone, that's a loan, but that's a mortgage, and you have lien rights against the property that the mortgage is on. So you definitely file those, yeah. But just promissory notes or personal loan notes, no, you don't have to file those.
Just their signature type of thing, so you don't have to. So, okay, very good. That's all I needed.
All right.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye. Let's go to Brian in Ponte Vedra, Florida. Hey, Brian.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Hi. Hey, great show, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Hey, I've been fighting cancer for about a year and a half now, and I want to give my home to a person that's been taking care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I own the home solely by myself, but I want to give it to this person that's been taking care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I should do that through a will or a trust. I understand the expense of having this person added to the note so that they could be in possession of it. But how do I give this house away if something were to happen to me?
Well, it'd be your choice. You can do it either through a will or a trust. If you do it through a will, it's going to go through probate. If you do it through a living trust, which really doesn't cost that much more, at least in my office, doesn't cost that much more. You can do a trust to give it to them. And actually, I have an office in Ponte Vedra if you'd like to sit down and talk about this a little further. But most of my clients will do a trust to avoid probate, I would say.
Okay. What if I filled out a durable power of attorney and described in...
The power of attorney would become void upon death. So that doesn't have anything to do with passing assets along upon death.
Oh, okay. All right. And whereabouts is your office located?
My office is located at 572 Ponte Vedra Boulevard.
Okay, that's easy. Very well. You're down there by the Inn and Club.
I'm right across the street from the lodge, which is part of the ownership of the Inn and Club. There's the Inn and Club, and a little further down the street, there's the lodge, which is all owned by the same organization. And I have an office right across the street from the lodge.
Okay, very well. I know exactly where that is. Okay, well, thank you very
much. It's an appointment-only office.
That's fine.
So, yeah. Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Okay. Thank you.
Actually, Brian, I'm seeing clients today. at the lodge. I mean, at the office across from the lodge. I don't know if you're interested quickly or not, but I am in the office today, so after the show.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you hold me over and give me to your producer, I'll give my phone number, and you can tell me the next time that you're in the office.
Okay, that'd be fine. Well, just my producer will be listening to the show, and he'll capture that and just send me a text of your number.
Okay,
all right.
Very well.
All right, thanks.
All right,
thank you.
Joe. Bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a question, you have time to call in at 877-943-9673. Let's go to Duke in Winter Haven.
Yes, good morning, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Fine. I'm calling to get some information about a living revocable trust.
Okay.
I had it drawn up in another state, mm-hmm. and I've been living in Florida for the last 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have accumulated a piece of property. And I just want to know do I have to have that?
Usually what I do, trusts from other states, I review those. And what other state are you from?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
Yeah, what other state are you from?
Washington State.
Okay, that's a community property state, along with California and Texas and...
Right. I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I can't hear you too well. It's in Washington State.
Okay.
And I...
I would review that trust and decide whether we needed to do an amendment or a restatement. And you can easily put your Florida property into that trust.
Okay.
And I do... I have an office in Davenport, actually, and I come to at least once a week. I know I'm going to be there on Monday.
Oh, this Monday you'll be there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sounds great.
So you might be able to call the office.
To make
call the
make
office.
An appointment?
Yeah.
Okay, what is that office number?
1-800 226.
Oh, I got that. 226
3529. Yeah, extension 200, and they run my calendar. If you call Monday morning, I don't know what my calendar says right now because I'm at the radio station, but.
Yeah.
If you wanted to come Monday, you probably could. If not, you can get scheduled for a future date.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you, Joe. Have a Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have about 9 minutes left in the show. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Ellen in Clearwater.
I can't understand a word you're saying. You're breaking up completely.
All right. Can you hear me?
It's going off and on, the breaking up.
Well, I don't know what's...
I told your producer, and it's pretty much when you talk that it breaks up.
All right. But go ahead and ask me your question, and then hopefully I can answer it for you.
Hopefully I can hear you.
All right.
Okay. I have gotten the paperwork, the book, and the books, and the stuff from your office. Okay, so I'm rereading, and thinking who I want to leave what to with the trust.
Mm-hmm.
With the will, it goes to court, and it goes to the probate and everything, and it has to stay open for 2 years. For any creditors to come around or whatever with the probate. How does that work with the trust? I mean, does it go into the court system at all, or nobody knows you're dead?
No, the trust doesn't go into the court system, but the trustee that you named to finalize your estate after death has a responsibility to pay the creditors, the known creditors. If there are unknown creditors, sometimes we do a probate to shorten the period of time that creditors can file a claim against the estate. So you can probate an estate with no assets to probate because they're all in a trust for a little bit of money, but that's usually not necessary.
So pretty much, if you have a trust, nobody knows you're dead.
Well, you file a trust notice that says so-and-so died, so-and-so has a trust, and you give the name and address of the successor trustee and the trust notice.
Okay.
So, yeah, if they, it's not advertised in the newspaper like a probate, but there is a notice filed at the courthouse that you are deceased, and the hospitals
okay,
and the medical
people. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, sir.
That's all right. No, but there's a notice.
We did it again.
Oh, I'm going to be quiet until you finish answering your question. Then go ahead.
Okay. How, okay, there's a relative that my sister is convinced when he passed away that he left she and I something,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And he's in New Jersey. I know to try and pull the will, and if not, then with the trust. I personally don't think there's anything there,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Because if you didn't talk in 40 years, you're not going to leave me something, okay? Because, you know, this is an uncle. His brother died, and the whole side of the family was convinced my mother killed him because he had cereal for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they stopped talking to us when he passed away. And, you know, they were rearranging the body in the coffin. I mean, they're nuts, amongst other things. And I'm convinced he didn't do anything, okay? I mean, if he didn't talk to me to see if I was dead or alive when I was a teenager, you know, you're not going to leave anything, okay?
Well, you can get a copy of the will, which should be a public record. You can see if the will leaves everything to a trust, which is a private document. The personal representative of the will, named in the will, is probably the trustee of the trust. You could write the trustee of the trust a letter requesting a copy of the trust because you believe you're a beneficiary. You should get a response back that would probably say, you're not a beneficiary and I'm not giving you a copy of the trust. And then you have to decide if you want to file a lawsuit, but you probably wouldn't get a copy of the trust because its purpose is to be a private document. But the trustee has a legal duty to follow the exact terms of the trust. So
okay,
basically,
now if they turn around and say, well, we put it in the paper, they know we're in Florida, they have our addresses, they send Christmas cards, the person that we're thinking that would be the trustee.
Well, the trust is I don't know the laws in New Jersey, first of all. But
I don't either.
Trust is a private document in Florida. So you're not going to get a copy of the trust if you're not not named as a beneficiary in the trust.
Well, she sees it being named as, you know, X amount of money per niece and nephew. That's how she sees it written.
She sees it written in the will?
If
that's written in the will, then that should have been distributed. And then you need a New Jersey attorney to sort through why it wasn't and to be able to help her.
Okay.
All right, Ellen?
Okay, but a trust will never go into public records.
Not in Florida. Right.
Okay.
I mean, a person can record the trust, but it's normally not recorded. If you need to record it for any purpose, you can do it in what's called an affidavit of trust and record that.
Yeah, because, I mean, with mine, I'm working on it to, like, what goes to who and to what. So I'm figuring, like, around February I'll be ready to see you.
Okay. Well,
and,
all right, well, I look forward to February.
Well, when I die, you don't have to put it in the paper that I died.
No, ma'am.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. You have a good and safe weekend, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have less than a minute in the show. I'm going to ask my producer to give Tim and Laura on the phone my cell number, and they can call me, wait about 10 minutes, and then give me a call, and I'll talk to you on my way back to where I'm going. So thank you so much for listening to Ask an Attorney. If you'd like to call the office real quickly, 1-800 is our office number, 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com, or you can text me at 727-667-3967. If you're in Jacksonville, stay tuned for the Real Estate Show, the best real estate show in Jacksonville. You have a great weekend. So long.